Yes, Janet Cobran, listener member. I also have concerns about all the time the coverage of the two national conventions. There's a lot of other things that are newsworthy that could have been on the air. And I also want to support inquiries into 9/11, the truth of 9/11, to challenge the official story. There are other challenges that progressives have to other issues, like the war on Iraq, and you know, it was a lie and all that. So why not 9/11, and why not other issues that are maybe unpopular with many people, but let's question things. That's part of what we're about, as far as I'm concerned. And I wanted to address something about smartphones that Andrew had brought up. I'll talk a little bit about this when I give the report on the technology committee. But Andrew, the PNB technology, now it's a task force. One of the things that it's looking into is mobile apps and how to connect to them. And also, well, some of them KPFA is carried on them. But one of the things we talked about is trying to have our own mobile app, so it would be branded and all that.
Thank you. This is Henry Knorr. Thank you for your report, Andrew. A couple of things. I appreciate the statistics about the internet and smartphones, and I wondered if I could ask you to send the link or your notes or whatever out on the mail list so everybody can see that that whole article, if possible, or at least the things you pulled out of it. And I think you know, but you know, the reason I ask you to send that to every, not just to me, but to everybody, is that I think, you know, I think it's generally true in the KPFA community, and that people are not appreciating a really profound change, not just, you know, technological improvements or whatever, new gadgets every year, but the fact that the way people inform and entertain themselves has changed profoundly in the last 10 years and continuing, and actually at an accelerating pace. And it just seems critical to the whole future of this institution that we have to get in tune with those trends, or we're dead. So I'm not sure there's any disagreement about that, but as Dan said, we go from year to year, now decade to decade, and not a whole lot seems to happen about it. So, and I will say I support your comments about the existing staff, which I know works very hard and has many good qualities, but the imagination and the vision and the sense of the significance of these technological change doesn't seem to be there. Somehow we need to, I think it would be possible if we had really strong leadership from the top. It would be possible, it's going to cost money to get us up to date, and money that we don't have, but I do believe it would be possible to fundraise separately, to bring in new sources of money, some foundations, some grants, some rich people, some people who already donate but feel like they don't want to just keep kicking in more and more for the same old, and but could kick in more for something that really brought us up to speed. So I just want to get all that on the record. I also want to join the people who question not the fact that we covered the conventions, but the way we covered them, the amount of resources that we devoted to that. And I wanted to ask a couple of questions about that, which is, How is a decision made as to the number of people to send, the number of hours per day to devote to the conventions? And do we have any data, and the second question, do we have any data or even any estimates or calculations or predictions about the effect of that decision on listenership? I don't claim that I'm necessarily, my friends are necessarily typical of anything, but I will say everybody I know who talked to me about it said, my God, who can listen to all this shit? And people who ordinarily listen to KPFA in the evening changed the station to a lot of people, you know, tried NPR and then in the hour, but even the major networks and NPR and stuff didn't devote 4 hours a night to it. So I'm really questioning what the logic was. I listened to some of it, mostly at the 7 o'clock hour, the major speakers. I thought our people did a good job, much better, frankly, better than I expected in doing interesting interviews and commentary and so on. And yet, the sheer length of it just seemed to me to be way out of line with. And to communicate, as Sharam or somebody or Janet or somebody said, that to communicate a sense of like what do we think is important? You know, we didn't do that about Occupy. You know, we don't do that about the immigrant rights movement. And yet which isn't to say we didn't do good things about those subjects, but by devoting all these resources and time to this, it's communicating a message that we think this is what more important, what really determines our fate, and I don't agree with that, and I don't see it as part of the Pacifica mission. Okay, that's it.
Thanks, Frank. This is Andrea Pritchett. Again, thank you, Andrew, for coming and filling us in on so many aspects. Appreciate your report. I like everybody. I have my opinions about the programming and this and that, and it makes for a good conversation, but it's probably not necessarily what we're supposed to be spending our time today doing. I'm interested, though. I want to piggyback on some of what Henry was talking about, and Dan brought it up, too, and this notion of, you know, what is it that's keeping us from making the changes in designing how we distribute information, and what's holding us back. And it occurs to me that number one, we need a plan that we can begin to. And I feel like it would be our job as the LSB to hold that vision, to have it, and to garner support for it, whether that's financial or whether that's educational or whatever. I see some of the obstacles as being like within the board. I'm not sure that we all have a common vision of where KPFA should be going and what that looks like, and that might be a result of our varying degrees of fluency with technology and different. So it might be useful for us to schedule some time on the LSB to actually look at other websites or look at, kind of get some education going here on the LSB about what is possible and begin to generate some enthusiasm there. I'm also willing to bet that within the station, there's going to be some resistance because people don't know what the hell you're talking about. And so if there was some internal education within the station about what's possible, then all the programmers, I think, if they were excited about it rather than scared of it, would help to generate the resources and the excitement and lower the resistance to that kind of thing. But what I would love to see is the plan. I'd love to be able to read, you know, something that's concise, like this is what we want to achieve through our web presence. So once we have a plan, then we can gather folks to set up an action plan. Like, what is it we need? If we had some good programming around this kind of stuff to educate our listeners to where we're heading, you know, and investigate. Like personally, I'm interested in online elections. I'm interested in figuring out how, within the Pacifica family, we can figure out how to do secure online elections. Now that might generate some interesting conversation about how secure can we get and what are the technologies out there and, you know, this is the betrayal of everything we stand for or something. I don't know. But I feel like we need to use the airwaves as a way to educate our listeners and our staff and our board so that we can move in that direction. So I'd be interested in hearing anything you have to say about, because when, you know, I was on an affiliates task force meeting this week, you know, and that's sort of some of what they're trying to do is dovetailing a bit with the development committee, which should also be dovetailing with the technology committee. And so there's a lot of kind of folks going at different across purposes or not really aware of what each other's doing. So I'm trying to figure out how to get all the right people in the room and to create something that, again, we can support in whatever way. So that's mine. Thank you.
So I just want to point out that we started this, we allocated a half hour for Andrew's report and discussion, and it's now been 35 minutes. There are two people left on the speakers list, and Andrew will want to respond, and I'm fine with going ahead with that, and I hope people will be happy with that as well. Okay, so the other two people on the speakers list are Mal Bernstein and Jack Kurzweil, and then Andrew can respond to the questions that were raised.
Mal Bernstein. I must say I'm shocked, really shocked to hear that denying a quorum in order to prevent business is immoral. Amazing. Who'd have thought? I'd like to associate myself with Andrea's remarks, Henry's and Dan's, to the extent that we really need to think forward and move in that direction and hopefully not be hobbled by the penny-pinching political people on the NSB or C, whatever it is. I'd also like to say that while I find conventions pretty boring, especially since they no longer decide real issues, the fact remains that an overwhelming majority of our listeners happen to subscribe to one or the other of those parties. And it would be somewhat of a disservice, it seems to me, to our audience to just ignore them and go on about conspiracies. It just doesn't make a lot of sense if we purport to talk to people who want to listen to us. But in general, I'd like to say that that's the function of management. And they made that decision for whatever reason, and it seems to have worked, and I can congratulate them on it. Wait.
I think that this is Jack Kurzweil speaking, but I'm not quite sure.
God, I hope it is.
The first thing is that I think that the decision to put the resources into the coverage of the two conventions was a very, very good decision. I appreciate the outcome. Pacifica is the only place where a left and progressive audience could hear the national conventions, both of them, with commentary and interviews of people who are in the first place to the left of center. Case in point, in the coverage of the Democratic National Convention, there was, I think, an interesting and important debate that took place between Glenn Ford and Michael Tyson about the significance of the Obama campaign and how to understand the significance of that campaign, an issue that is very important to people on the left of center and would be heard no place in any convention coverage except for Pacifica. So that, I think, is the flip side to the comments or the ideas of those people who don't see those parties or conventions to be important in relation to their political thinking. Second, I want to embrace the difficulties that Andrew has on his plate, having to do with the electorate for the upcoming board elections. There are three sets of people who are eligible to participate in those elections, at least the way that I divide them. There are the paid staff, and we know who the paid staff are. There is a list that anybody can consult. There are the listeners. Once again, there is a list, but as we've learned, the content and timing and distribution of that list is subject to the whims of the Pacifica National Board. But that's neither here nor there. There is a list, and there are standards and criteria. I have raised the question of the unpaid or volunteer staff before in a number of meetings. Where is the list, and what are the criteria for being on the list? This has nothing to do with being for, against, or neutral on the unpaid staff organization, simply that the unpaid staff need to have a set of criteria by which they vote. There have to be a set of standards. Those standards have to be written down and commonly understood, and there has to be a list, which is complete. And we have not yet been provided with a complete list with commonly understood standards. And to complain about that is not to declare war on the unpaid staff organization. It is simply to ask that that portion of the electorate be subject to the same kinds of rules and criteria that everybody else is. Finally, I wish to associate myself with Sharam's characterization of boycotting to prevent a quorum as being immoral. And I hope that everybody in this room takes an agreement between Sharam and me to heart in that regard. Thank you, Sharam.
Andrew will respond now, and then we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. Okay? Everybody ready for that? Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Let me address Sharam's question. The question was, I think, do I recognize UPSO? Correct, Sharam?
Yes.
I wrote a letter. This was came up as a serious question at the beginning of the process with the election supervisor, Aaron Morris, who asked me the same question, and I was left in a quandary. To not recognise the organisation of UPSO, I felt, would be essentially to not recognise the unpaid staff. How would there be some kind of list? And there was the danger that they would be excluded from the election entirely because there was no formalised list. Since there was, however, or had been ongoing meetings attended by very few people, I will grant you, less than six usually, sometimes as few as three, I understand. Nevertheless, there had been ongoing meetings at the station of the APSO organisation. Now, having said that, at the same time, there was no quote-unquote constituted organisation. There had not been a vote, or has not been a vote, for 10 or 11 months, which is not the fault of the paid staff, of the unpaid staff. I'm not going to attribute blame to this, but it seemed to me it was very unfair to dislodge the unpaid staff from the election process when, in fact, there was. I described it as like driving a car without a licence. You can still drive the car, it's against the law, but it still works and you can still get from A to B. It's just that you don't have a licence. We have an APSO organisation which is not official, but it still meets and it still knows the people on it, I would suggest still should know and do know who, in fact, are paid staff and who are volunteers and who are not. They make their own ruling. Pacifica bylaws say that to be eligible to vote in a Pacifica election, you need to do 30 hours of work in 3 months. However, it also says that an unpaid staff organisation has the right to create their own parameters, and the KPFA APSO organisation did create and have created their own parameters, which is 30 hours of work in 1 year, substantially four times longer period to do the same amount of work. That's the parameter. That's what the election supervisor recognised. I recognised APSO, and I gave you my reasons. The second question, I think, was from Henry. Janet asked about mobile apps. We had a meeting with an apps company at KPFA. It would have cost $7,000 or $8,000 to do the app they wanted us to do. I know that there's talk of doing an app down in with the national staff, with John L. Maller, who's the Pacifica technical director. My understanding is they're exploring it, but it's all part of that bigger digital question, which I will now get to, following on Henry's question. He had a couple of questions, actually. One question from Henry was, I've lost my train of thought here. Henry actually asked us, how was the decision made to cover the conventions? How was that decision made? As I said in my report, there currently is no national point person for national programming. Each week the general managers meet with the executive director. There were a series of these meetings going back six or a couple of months, probably maybe 2 or 3 months. Some of them included program directors. When the national board was in town, John L. Maller and Otis McClay, both of whom do the technical work for the national office, met with me. They are old-time Pacifica people. Have produced in the technical side of it many of these election events. They were party to making the decision, as were the managers and the executive director at the time, Arlene Engelhardt. It was somewhat dispersed decision-making process, so there was no one person who was responsible. And we got on board with some line producers fairly late in the piece. They really had nothing to do with the decision either, although they had decision with who were going to be on the broadcast. Caroline Casey was brought up. Mark Babel, what was his name now, the guy from KPFT, Mark Babawi, was brought in additionally. Mitch, who I thought should have been on air more, was in fact producing the Democratic Convention, was not a host. I thought he should have been, whereas he was hosting the RNC. I think there was a bit of confusion about who was hosting what at sometimes. But the decision was like a group decision, and sometimes group decisions aren't good decisions. I mean, but that's how the decision was made. Does that give you some clarity?
Just do a very quick clarification.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. I just want to make clear that my question was not about the decision to cover the convention, but about the number of hours and how much resources to devote to it.
Well, you know what? I really can't answer that directly. It was, as I said, a group decision. It was battered around over different meetings, and that's how it worked out. But I would suggest that in the future, Pacifica probably does need to explore the idea of some kind of national point person, perhaps. I don't know whether we've got the money or intent to do that. I thought Henry's comments were really instructional about where he noted that we did not provide similar amounts of analysis to Occupy or immigration rights, etc. I think that's really instructional. And I think that will come up in our post-mortem. It's a good point. And we should be doing something on September 17th. At this point, we hadn't planned to do something, but we should be doing some kind of commemorative program on the 17th, which is the anniversary of Occupy. Mm-hmm. I don't have... Did I answer everybody's questions? I think Jack made a comment and Mel made a comment.
Yeah, I think
so.
No,
Andrew. What stops us making changes and progress in our IT evolution, essentially? Is that basically the thrust of it? Well, I'll take some of the blame for it. I mean, as soon as I walked in the door at KPFA, I suggested it's something we should do, but talk is cheap, as we all know. We've had meetings, we've had gatherings. Henry was at some of these meetings we had. Once again, I wrote minutes, I sent them out, but they kind of went down the rabbit hole, to be honest with you. I mean, and I'm not going to blame individuals, but I will say, and I did say in my report, I think historically our IT staff has been really slow to get on board this. And I would suggest as a manager, I expect my staff to suggest ideas. It's not all up to the manager, it's up to the staff, particularly people that have been there a long, long time. Because managers come and go, but IT staff seem to stay forever. And it's really their job, I would suggest, as it is many of us, they're paid, they get full benefits, to pitch in and come up with some progressive and powerful ideas. And I think, I've been thinking about this, I think we need to have another, like a workshop, we need to get together and basically almost have a Truth and Reconciliation Committee. Why aren't we doing it? How could we do it? What should we be doing? Let's go. I mean, that's what I think we need to do. Because frankly, I can't do it alone. I've got to have the support of my staff, and there has to be some kind of directive to get us off our arse to get this thing moving. I mean, and I'm prepared to work with it. I have been working with it. I've been going off the reservation. I've got a complete a concept for what we call Pacifica Expanded. And Nicholas Robert was at one of these board meetings. He was at the PMB. We have something on paper, but it's, once again, it's talk. Well, at least we've got it on paper. Henry did a report 4 years ago, I think, on this. A great report. 6 years ago? 3 years ago. So we do, and we have people here who are savvy on this. I mean, here's one sitting right here. You know a lot about this kind of stuff. So I think we do have the resources, we just haven't had the will to really play hardball with this and get it moving. And I think we've got to get it moving. I think it's a potential resource stream that we just are not capitalising on. And I'll make this promise here, I'm dedicated to get something moving whilst I'm at KPFA, and who the hell knows how long that'll be. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Frank. So now we're going to move on to the treasurer's report, and I'm going to turn the gizmo over to Barbara and to Maria.
Good afternoon, everybody. Maria's going to pass out these documents. And I just want to make a comment about following up on something that Andrew just said about having resources for a particular item or a lot of items, but not the will. And I think the way I see our operations in this organization are that, yeah, it looks like we don't have the will sometimes, but I really think that it's extremely complicated and difficult to be a democratically run organization. Democracy is not easy, and we witness this in many places as we work. I find that
working with the Finance Committee is extremely difficult. There's a lot of time spent on pontificating. Nothing happens quickly as we review the various budgets from the various stations. So now today what we'll present, Maria and I, is a history of what's happened to the KPFA budget. This is not your usual kind of statement, but I'll just say a little bit about what's here and then we'll turn it over to Maria.
Which document is it?
This big one with multi-page thing. The one-page thing, by the way, shows the page where there was a projection about how many fundraising days and the effects of those, you know, the arriving at a total that we're asking for, dividing it up as to what's likely to go to the KFCF and to KPFK. Sorry, I want to make sure this is off. And so there were some changes in that after the presentation on August 4th. But and those affect certain things that are in the budget. As you all remember, we have this template which controls, you know, various parts of it control other parts. So let's go to the multi-page document. The first column on the left is the total for all of the items, revenue and expenses, without the monthly representation of how these totals add up. And the first column is a column of some adjustments that were made after it was voted on at the August 4th meeting, a couple of which were in response to the first meeting by the National Finance Committee, and they were presented with the budget that has the totals in the first left-hand column. But there was no real decision made. There was a lot of discussion about our budget. Some of the main things that were said by people from other stations were that they felt the projection of income that we could bring in was too high. And there was a spread of from $200,000 to $400,000, they were batting around saying it was somewhere in that neighborhood too much. And that, of course, related to, then would relate to the expenses. So the next column was then the totals after some corrections, that or not corrections, adjustments, changes, that was presented to the NFC for the second meeting that we had. And it was clear that at that meeting, the next meeting was when they actually voted. And there were more adjustments made after the meeting on August 30th. And then the column, the one where Maria has changed the surplus figure at the top, that's really the bottom line of everything, but we put it up there to distinguish between each time that we went through this. So the last meeting we had was just a few days ago on September 5th, and that is represented in the column that has the surplus at the top of $32,516. Now, you'll see just in the adjustment number 2 column, in the revenue is where $100,000 was reduced from major donor category and from listener support. And I will let Maria talk about the rest of this stuff. Under that, those lines, however, there's her explanations of the changes. So you can follow on with, where just as a guide, where we've she's got decreased from LSB version due to, in the first decrease, was adjusted allocation to Fresno and LA. And that refers to this sheet where we made some changes in the percentage that was projected that might be going to both of those other stations. And then her second note is for the second column was revised reductions as mandated by the National Finance Committee. So that's your guide for following along with her when she's going to talk to you about this.
Okay. Just a little bit of background. All of the fund drive days and goals and everything were all done, of course, in conjunction with Andrew, Phil Osageda, who knows our fund drives very, very well, and Chris Delick, who is our database manager and knows the money that comes in very, very well and how it comes in. So we did have an awful lot of days. I mean, nobody wants 89 days of fund raising. And I'm sorry, Andrew, I didn't have a chance to tell you that in trying to fix all of this from the NFC meeting, I did lower those days. Surprise. Anyway, again, it was mandated that we lower everything by 100,000. So I played around with days and you know, because I would fall into like a Saturday or a, you know, so to start a Saturday, I end a Saturday, so I did the best I could. This is not set in stone by any means. You know, we kind of look at it as on an as-needed basis. But just to get the $100,000 in there, the reduction, I had to play around with numbers. So please don't anybody like plan vacations around these days or anything like that, because
not yet,
not yet, yeah. So let's see. We had allocated 5% to LA and 5.3% to Fresno. They actually get a better portion of our pledges, about 6% each. So in the small sheet of paper, where it says on the bottom, after all changes in column Q, you see 94% of 106% of fund drive pledge goals goes to KPFA, and those numbers in column Q are what get put into the budget template. Now, what you have to understand is you can't look at September and see $177,000, or maybe I should say October, and see $303,000 and expect to see it in the budget at $303,000, because that's not the way it works. We get money every month. We get money from 10 months ago to, you know, last month. We just don't know when someone's going to send in their pledge. We get pledges 12 months late, 24 months late, you know. So you can't do dollar for dollar month to month. So let's see. So column C is what was presented to the LSB.
In this bigger document.
In the bigger document, excuse me. Column C was what was presented to the LSB. Column F was...
And to the NFC on 8/30.
No, column F is what was presented to the NFC.
Yes, yeah.
Column
F is what...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, it was emailed.
Right.
And they responded by email with many questions.
So anyway, and then column I is what was the final result of all of the modifications made by the NFC. We felt that we had a pretty strong, that we felt we were pretty positive with the goals that we had set. Our summer drive came in 2012 came in 13% higher than 2011 summer drive. But we don't have a track record, yes, because there have been many changes from 2010 when we lost the morning show to 2011 to 2012. And then now we did go up in summer of 2012. So we would have expected that we would have continued that trend. But we'll have to see and see for next year, I guess. But right now, as it is, we have $100,000 less in listener support. Corporate match I brought down just a little bit. Website income, I do want to stress that website income, along with in rows 12, 14, and 16, all three of those line items are all basically the same thing. They are donations coming in, and it's just a matter of the medium that it comes in, whether it's a check, cash, or comes in through the web as a credit card. So that website income is not what comes in during Fund Drive's website income. That is strictly miscellaneous donations that we get. We get about 10 to 12% of Fund Drive, Fund Drive listener support comes in through the web, but we put that into listener support. I want to make that really, really, really clear.
To 5,000.
Yeah, the column 8, or row 8, excuse me. Car donations, we have done really, really well with our new company, and I think we're being pretty conservative with that. As you can see, we do project $57,000 for the end of... No, at the end of the year year. I believe we just received a $4,000 check just yesterday. Chris sent me a text about that. So $54,000 for car donations, I think, is very conservative. Crafts Fair income is what it is. CPB grant, I got that number from National Office. They expect that we will get about $105,000 two times, so $210,000 total. And that's, again, we don't know because CPB did an audit. So, but as a result of that audit, different stations got penalized for something that's very complicated, and it has to do with the price of our premiums and the fair market value, so I won't go into that. But I will say that our portion of the penalty is $24,000, but we get to pay it over 3 years. So we're not quite sure that it'll start this year, but we went ahead and put it into the budget. So $8,000, and that's what I've got a note up in the very top left corner there, where $8,000 penalty was allocated to the unrestricted portion, which means only the KPFA portion and not now what is known as the FSRN portion. Grants income, when we did present this to the LSB, we had $24,000 in grants income. Oh, that was probably optimistic in the fact that we don't have a development director. And grants do take a while to get together, present, and get the money. So I did go ahead and take that out after the first, interjection there from the NFC, from the initial review. Miscellaneous income, again, I think that's conservative, but as suggested by the NFC at their initial review, I did bring it down to $4,400. So from the LSB to now, as you can see, it's $263,000 that was reduced in income. Page 2, which starts with line 37 through line 46, eight, that is all the summary of all of the expenses that you will find down below. Personnel costs. I did notice between the LSB meeting I had found $25,000 more or less, I should say, in expenses. It's because the budget template estimates 4% for every paid personnel to get 403B. What do you call it? Contributions. Okay, so, yeah. But we don't have that much that gets we don't have that many people who participate in the 403B. So right now we have, if you look further down, we are about $15,000 is what the contribution is. So I did bring that way down and to $25,000, and then the NFC agreed that another $10,000 would be fine to bring down. So we match what we are currently in this year. As you can see, there's a great big number of $120,000 that the NFC has reduced in personnel costs. I don't have anything to say about that. It's line 37, and the explanation is on line 38. Administrative expense. Sure, go ahead. Well, because they reduced our income by so much, we were then in a deficit. And so we had to reduce and I'll explain the other expenses, but basically every category of expense got reduced. But when we were still in deficit, it was mandated that it be $120,000 to personnel. So administrative expenses,
we have we will be paying more legal bills in this fiscal year by the end of September, by September 30th. So I reduced some of the legal expenses that I had budgeted for in 2013. As an aside on legal bills, we have been given quite a pile of legal bills to pay. We have been given, we paid $27,000 in July. We've paid $35,000 a couple of weeks ago. We have been given another stack of $48,000, another stack of $14,000, I believe it was, and then one more of $120,000. So,
On that, can you provide us with a list of those bills and the cases with which they are associated?
Well, National Office has just now given us the bills. They had not even put them on our books. That in accounting, you have to accrue for the expenses as they come in the month they come in. We only, out of $125,000 worth of bills, we only had one $13,000 bill that hit our books. So our books will get hit hard now at year end. But in terms of the bills that we have, they've been redacted, and so they're kind of like reading something from the CIA, you know, I can only tell you what case I believe it's from, but I don't know.
Aren't those cases public?
Especially the fact that we're being given them to pay, and from, I asked the attorneys in the room, you know, I would imagine that you don't put confidential information on a bill. So that's my thought. Yeah.
Hold questions.
So let's see. In administrative expenses, again, the NFC mandated that we reduce repairs and maintenance by 15% and computer maintenance by 5.4%. I will remind everybody that last year we had 52, we had about $62,000 in computer maintenance, and the LSB did reduce
the,
that.
NFC.
Reduced $50,000, so we went down from 62 to 12, and we're so far coming in at about 27 to 30. So anyway, again, if you're going to drive a car, it's going to break down, and you got to fix it. So. Programming expenses. The increase was primarily due to an additional, and it was increased from the LSB to the first version that went to the NFC, went up about $11,000. Andrew would like to put in money there for training expense. The union contract does state that every union member gets to have $500 worth of training. And, you know, we should be encouraging people to take some training, especially when it comes to the media, you know. But But then from the first version to the last version of the NFC, it was reduced. We're apparently taking away one new service. Right now we have two. We'll be taking away one. Reduce the website expense by 4.5, again, as mandated by the NFC. 4.5 thousand, as mandated by the NFC. Development expenses. When you reduce the amount of listener support, that then kind of dominoes everything else, dominoes your premium shipping, you know, everything. So I was able to reduce some of those according to the reduction of 100,000 in listener support. Again, it got reallocated. It kind of went up. It goes down. You know, it's all detailed on the bottom pages because we allocated more to Fresno. Therefore, our listener support went down. Therefore, our premiums went down, so on and so forth. And that's about it for listener support, for development expenses. Community events expenses,
when it comes to the events, Bob Baldock events. We don't know. We just go based on history because we don't know who is coming to town 6 months from now. So we can only estimate as to history. And when, let's see, shared expenses, which everybody knows it as central services, it is a straight 17% for national office and 2.5% to radio archives. And in the past, we've always just done it to listener support. Now they've incorporated corporate match as well, so I just brought that in. Capital expenditures, we have zero in there. And the reason we have zero in there is because we've been, again, made to put in depreciation expense of $114,000 into our budget. It's not an operating cost. This is an operating budget. Depreciation is not an operating cost. So I teasingly, Michael Yoshida asked me, how much can I spend on such and such? And I said $114,000 because that's what's in the budget. But so we have nothing in capital items. And my
depreciation is line 116. Yeah. Just in case you're
wondering. And, you know, in terms of the details of depreciation and looking at the depreciation schedule, there are silly things in there. And I'm really surprised at the auditors, but that's for when the audit comes around. We have things like chairs in there. We have things like, which if you've been to KPFA, most of our chairs are like, you know, dead anyway. So we have things like computers, like desktop computers, which are no longer a capital item. They're, and not to mention that one computer has now is now probably six different computers throughout the station because they all get taken apart. But so that'll be something that I'll discuss with the auditor when that time comes around. It seems kind of harsh to say we have to cut $120,000 worth of personnel when you have $114,000 of a non-expense item in the operating budget. But so let's see, that's about it for depreciation expense. And I did, we did have, just as an aside or a point of information, is Roger Marquis was on the call with the NFC the other day. My personal feeling is I was very embarrassed for, you know, just the way the treatment was. It was very harsh. But I think he does a great job. And I'm sorry, Roger is our IT contractor.
Who made a presentation.
Who made, yeah. He made a presentation.
Four months ago, yeah. Something like that.
So anyway, and I think that's... I think that's about it for what I guess I've got to say about the, you know, the details of this.
Okay.
What? Oh, you have to check the batteries. Okay.
Still good.
Okay.
They look good.
Okay. So now the floor is open for discussion. I would request that we have questions first and comments second. So people who want to ask questions, raise your hands. Okay, I see Mal, Jack, Donald, and on this side I see Henry and Anthony. Is that right? Okay, Mal.
If I understand this, and I want you to tell me if I'm right, the National Finance Committee was presented with our draft budget, and then the members of that committee from various stations just chopped it up?
Well, yes, I guess. I mean,
they pointed out particular items they had questions about. They essentially thought we were overestimating the amount of income, and then they said if that's the case, we need to pick places to make cuts.
And what was that based on?
And what is the expertise of this group of geniuses?
About our
finances.
Well, their expertise comes from being at least two rounds, two terms on in their office, and the I would say amateur studying of budgets, and there wasn't a lot of concentration on something that I think is very important, the difference among stations as to what we feel like the needs are in this in Northern California for, you know.
Yeah, actually, Andrew pointed out to someone from New York that was comparing New York to us, and as much as we are a network and we should all work together, we are different. I mean, it's just like a family with every child is different. So you can't have the exact same rules for one to the other. I mean, the rules should be the same, but you can't exactly treat one to the, you know, depending on what the whole personality of each station is. So, yeah, it was, I guess, based on, I don't know, I guess maybe you would ask the NFC chair.
This custom has been developed in this organization of how to handle budgets. I'm... As much as I am for democracy and I say how difficult it is, this is certainly one of the situations that has the most effect on us of trying to practice this in a democratic way, all sharing opinions about each other's budgets. I haven't figured out a proposal to make to improve it, but it is a very difficult situation to work in.
I am reassured that I am, in fact, Jack Kurzweil. And so I want to ask the following questions. Maria, is there any way of us knowing if the legal bills presented to KPFA represent issues that KPFA has been involved in? That is, are they our legal bills? Is there any way at all of figuring that out? If there is, and if the bills are legitimately that of KPFA's, then of course we should pay them. But if there is no information to support the notion that they are KPFA's bills, then I do not think we should pay them. Second question. Upon his request, I had a discussion with my old friend Peter Frank about the finances of the station. And he wanted to know about the issue of depreciation. So I told him, and he asked me the question, is there a separate bank account that in which the depreciation funds are deposited? And my response to him, and he said, of course, there should be and must be. And my response to him was that we have never, as a board, been given the information from Pacifica as to just where those depreciation funds are. So I am asking in the name of Peter Frank, where are those depreciation funds sitting?
I'm glad you jogged my memory on that. I did mean to say that if we were being forced to put $114,000 into our operating budget, that money was, our plan was to divide it into three. One was going to go to a completely restricted, you know, cash fund or our bank account that would, where we could start building up our reserves again. One would go to a reserve account or a bank account where, yes, if
we need computers or something happens to the transmitter, we would have reserves there. And that would be about, by the way, in the tune of $3,000 to each per month. And then the third $3,000, I figured could just be like a cushion in our budget. And Andrew and I brought that proposal to the CFO, who actually thought that was a good idea. Yes, who doesn't want to, build reserves? We have certainly depleted our reserves a lot by helping others, which is what we should do, but we now are,
Where is that $114,000?
It's not anywhere. It's
paper.
On paper. It's on paper.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, I know it's on paper. Mm-hmm. I see it here. I see it here on paper.
It does serve.
The paper is the signifier.
Yeah.
Okay. The cash is the signified.
Right. Yeah.
Is there any relationship between the signifier and the signified?
That's it. You don't get to talk
anymore. Only the monkey.
It was just last year, as I understand mm-hmm. it, that depreciation was forced into the administrative expense category. It had been noted in the capital expense budget area previously.
Not as depreciation, though.
No, it wasn't. But this was a new change, and many people did say, well, if it's listed as an expense, who does it get paid to? The very question you're asking, Jack. And there was no answer for that. It was a new technique of dealing with this concept, and it does need to be addressed. And this year, as Maria said, we were talking about this problem. This is one reason that we have nothing in our capital budget, because it was doing double duty to say we have to set aside depreciation and we have to budget for things that are going to break down. So we didn't want to do that twice. And we also didn't want to be having depreciation there without actually taking some of that money and putting it in a reserve account. So the change, if we're going to do it this coming year, is a new way to address this.
Mind you, $114,000 in depreciation equals $120,000 in reduction of personnel, basically.
In other words,
yeah.
For balancing the budget. Mm-hmm.
And I think Jack had another question about the legal bills.
To be quite honest, we kind of just have been given them like bang, 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 so we haven't even really, we've been given them and then asked for a check like almost immediately, so we haven't even had a chance to review them. All I could say about the legal bills that I've seen and, just like quickly perusing through them is that there seems to be a lot of redundancy in the type of things that are being asked of these attorneys. So as an example, I believe there have been three attorneys so far, at least two, but possibly three, that have been asked to review the PNB bylaws, the Pacifica bylaws, I should say. So it's kind of like getting second and third opinions from a doctor, right? But I don't know. It's just, I guess, trying to reinterpret the bylaws. So we have been asked to pay for that. So.
Well, can I ask you to pay some of my bills?
Yeah.
Okay, enough. The next on the list is, these are questions. People are asking questions. I have Ottawa McDonald, Goldwalker, Henry Moore, Anthony Best, and Andrea Turner. Have I got everybody? Okay, go ahead.
two questions. So the Finance Committee said we have to reduce our income projection by $100,000.
$200,000. Oh, I'm sorry, I did miss that part. Under major donors,
yes.
They brought us down $100,000 in line 14.
Yes.
So it's $200,000.
Oh, so it's $200,000.
Yes, I'm very sorry.
And
okay. Hang on, make note of the questions. Okay?
Yeah. Right. So I would like clarification as to how that was arrived at. That's my question, to the extent that you and Barbara understand or know. I want to come back to this computer maintenance issue. Why? Is this the proper name for what's going on here around computers? We require 30,000.
Ask your question.
No, I'm asking.
She's going to respond.
Okay,
don't ask me because she's going to respond right now.
That's okay. No, no.
Right,
I understand. So this $30,600, do we have detail on what that actually is?
Regarding the reduction in revenue, we've received a couple of bequests here in the last year that it's believed that because they're bequests and it was just kind of it fell on our laps, which was wonderful. We appreciate it greatly, but because it's kind of a one-time deal. It was like it was too optimistic to put $205,000 in major donors. And so the number came up of $100,000 to reduce it by $100,000. Same with listener support. They just thought it was $100,000 was the number that came up. As Barbara said, some were higher, some were lower, and this is what it ended up to be.
They just thought we were overestimating.
Yeah, yeah. So I do want to say two other things regarding when it comes to the donors and such. We've spoken quite a bit about Goalbusters, who is a development consultants and contractors. Some people think it's too optimistic to put, all of our faith in them. I say we haven't had a development director. I mean, I've been here 3.5 years and I've not seen a development director, or not one that has been able to work at it pretty much full time or anything. I mean, Lemlem did, she had 3-4 hats, as did Amelia Gonzalez. It's just, it's never been something that someone's been concentrating on. So I believe, my personal belief, $42,000 for this contractor is not a high price to pay. I mean, for God's sakes, it's better than what we've got, right? And the money that has come in literally has just come in the door. I mean, we've not solicited it. So my point is that if this kind of money comes in the door without any solicitation, what kind of money could come in if we solicit it, I will... Just to kind of go back on something that Andrew was saying is, and just regarding all of the stuff that Andrew has on his plate, he's got so much on his plate. Again, he's being asked to be development director, web person, GM, referee, all of this kind of stuff. And it's just, I understand. I mean, I come in the door every day saying, I'm going to do this. And I go home not doing this, and I end up awake till 2 in the morning doing what I was supposed to be doing. You just can't get, everything you plan to do done. So we need help in the revenue part of it. That's just all there is to it. So, let's see, where? Computer maintenance. Computer maintenance, when it comes to that, what's his name? Roger is a Marquis from RoboSystems. He gets very frustrated because there are only really 3 categories for computers. Budget codes that you find in here. It's computer maintenance, web, and, pretty much that's it. Yeah, and, some of the capital expenditures. We've developed a sub-account system. So, and it's all just gobbledygook to me. But, he's developed a sub-account system that I will be able to, as bills get paid, we put those sub-accounts in and then we could do reports on how much exactly we are spending on certain specifications of computer maintenance. Other thing on computer maintenance, in what you see in there, is also because computers are an expense item, that's what's part of going in there, is like if and when we need to replace computers, it goes into computer maintenance as opposed to a capital expenditure item.
Does that answer your question? I mean, I could get you detail. I just can't do it right now, but yeah.
Moving on to Henry.
Thank you. Still Henry Knorr. Again, Henry Knorr. I also want to question my question also about the depreciation business, and let me just preface it by saying I'm not in any way defending the way this is set up. I'm not an accounting person. It seems pretty crazy to me. But on the other hand, we've zeroed out all the capital items. So in fact, our capital expenses are coming out of the depreciation amount. That is correct? Yes. So I guess I would be interested when we talk about the $114,000 as if it's just a completely unjustified ripoff from our the money that we have available, or when you compare it to the $120,000 in personnel reductions, it's hard for me to evaluate that without knowing what our capital expenses should be if we were properly budgeting them. So if we didn't have the depreciation on the budget, and in fact we budgeted for capital items, how much do you have a figure of how much we would actually should be spending in terms of proper maintenance and upgrading and whatever comes out of capital items?
You are correct, Henry, in that yes, $114,000 doesn't equal $120,000 straight across the board, because of course we would have to have capital expenditure items regardless of whether it's $114,000 or it's got to be something. In columns P, Q, and R row 68, P, Q, and R, you'll see how much was spent in those 3 years. For capital expenditure items, and then column L is for the projected for this year. We have been working on the telephone system, which is line 60, and you'll see there that we've spent about $17,000. And about $19,000 in the past couple of years on our new telephone system. So yes, we would have to say that, off the top of my head right now, I would probably say a safe number would be $40,000 to budget for capital expenditures. So you would take your $114,000 minus $40,000, and that would be what would be the overage or whatever you want to call it. But I'm glad you recognize that that depreciation is kind of a silly thing.
Yeah, Anthony Fest, the staff representative, and Henry kind of anticipated what I was going to ask about what the actual capital expenses are going to be. I hope they've been set out somewhere and they can be shared with the board, although I happen to share the opinion that it seems odd to put depreciation into a budget. So nonetheless, I'd like to see what these expenditures actually are going to be, even if they are going to be financed out of that depreciation line item. And also, where would we find, if computers are expensed now rather than depreciated, where do we find them under expenses?
I answered that when Donald asked, but we put it under computer maintenance. Okay. Okay. Well, do you want to share?
Yeah. What is it?
It's line 120. What was the other question?
Oh, in terms of the detail for computer expenditure, or excuse me, for capital expenditure items, I'm on the board of another very small nonprofit, and they also have, following the same model, two accounts where they put, you know, in case a roof needs to be done or in case a door needs to be replaced. It has two different accounts. And those get brought to the board when it's a larger item. So in other words, the board kind of approves and says, okay, anything under, I don't know, $5,000 as an example, I don't know, just throwing a number out, you know, the GM or the chief operating, or what's his name, chief engineer, has discretion over. But if it's any large item, then, you know, if we're going to be taking that kind of money out, it's got to maybe be talked about. But so, yeah, that's.
Oh, okay, thanks. Yeah, hi. This is Andre. Thanks, Henry, because I wanted to get that same question out. So I'll move on to my next question on that one. Did you give us a list of, an outline at least on how much, where can I find out, how much did we make for these last events?
You're talking about a
Bob. Yeah, yeah.
Is that your only question?
No.
Ask all your questions.
Okay. Yeah, just about events. And under depreciation, do you tag all of the items in KPFA or, you know, the chairs? Is there an estimated amount of funds attached to even a broken chair or something? So that we can then add it all up and we would know which items we're definitely talking about. It would justify when you go before the audit. Yeah.
KPFA is a kind of a whole different entity of whatever I've worked on. In a company of this size, I would have, I should say, there is a tracking system. The one who tracks it is Michael Yoshida. And he tracks things as, like my computer, I don't know, a few months ago, coincidentally, I literally had almost the whole operating department, ops department, in my office, and my computer just kapoof, you know. So they took it away. And I watched him, whereas he was taking parts out of it, and there were working parts, and he was, like, listing them all down, you know, so he had, like, an inventory of how many motherboards or fans or whatever he had in his little reserve. So yes, he keeps very good track of that. Michael is an engineer. He's very particular about that kind of stuff. But not so particular when it comes to chairs and stuff, you know. They just break and they go in and knock upon and that's it. So, but, you know, on the other hand, we get people who bring, I brought a chair in, an executive type chair in that was too big for my house, so I brought it in and all of a sudden it becomes part of KPFA inventory, you know. But chairs don't belong in a depreciation schedule. But, in terms of community special events on line 20, it's not broken out, but we have $76,000 right now as of 10 months of actual and 2 months of projected. We have $76,000, and I am budgeting $78,000. So.